Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Awesome. It's really lovely to be here. And it's such a blessing to be here. And I do really want to honour, as every speaker has done, I really do want to honour the pastors and the mum and dad and the senior leaders of this house. I've had such a wonderful time getting to know you both. I was just saying to Fiona, who's been driving me, Jai's mum, Jai, you getting married? Man, that was savage! I've just had such a good time. Sitting and listening to the stories of friendship, fierce friendship, supernatural wisdom, and seeing what God has done in, with people who are faithful. And so it's really wonderful to serve with you all tonight. I'll just do a quick intro. I'm Esther. Hi. Hello. Hello. My particular shade of brown, my particular flavour of chocolate is Fijian. Yeah, woohoo! Oh yeah, we're happy about that. Yeah, good, good. I was born in Fiji. And I know. Yeah, it was a good time. And then when I was about 3 years old, we moved to New Zealand. So I'm from Kiwi country. Hey, yeah, kia ora, lovely. And it's just really wonderful to be here. I've got a photo of my husband and my son. I'm sure it's going to come up soon. Will it come up? That's my fam. That's my baby boy, Malachi. Yeah, he's 11 months old and I'm like super gushy. I miss him, and that's my husband, the bearded man kissing him. That's my husband. Oh my gosh, look, isn't he cute? You don't have to agree, it's fine. I believe it. My husband's ministering right now in New Zealand, and my family's looking after my baby boy, and it's just really, really wonderful to be here and feel like we're among family. So thank you very much once again for having me. I really do believe God's going to do something significant tonight. Yeah, I really do. And I pray that you're leaning in. I pray that right now your spirit is awake. And I pray that this is not just another meeting. I pray this is not just routine, because I really do believe that God can and wants to do something significant. So again, I'll just kind of tell you a little bit of my background. I grew up going to church, not a church like this. I grew up going to a Methodist church. Yeah, woo! A Fijian one. Oh, amazing! Fantastic. So kids' church was really different to kids' church now. There were reptiles here today. When I was at kids' church, we did scripture union. Anyone? Yeah, my people. But back in the day, it wasn't even fun like scripture union is now. We had exams. I had to do exams in kids' church. Not only that, we had to study the word, you know, then we had to do exams, and then they would do the prize giving at church on Sunday in front of everyone. Yeah. And if you know anything about Islander families, you want to make sure you come at the top of your class. We won't talk about what happens afterwards if you don't. Anyway, that's the church that I grew up in. And so I grew up going to church and I grew up learning about Jesus. But who can agree with me that going to church every Sunday doesn't make you a Christian? Going to church every Sunday doesn't mean that you know God. Going to church every Sunday doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's every week makes you a cheeseburger. I love going to church, but really how we approach the house of God and the state of our hearts and what can take place when we go to church, that's something different. So I learned about Jesus. And so this was the difficulty of how I grew up. The difficulty was that on Sundays, I would go to Scripture Union. I would learn about a God that is good. I would learn about Jesus who can heal. I would learn about a good father. I would learn about Jesus who was close to the brokenhearted. But at home, my home was a little bit different. My dad was a very angry man, and I never really knew why. He was very abusive, so we grew up around just in a violent, violent home. And my dad was great, and I love my dad dearly. But there would just be times where the anger inside him, it would just seem to bubble up, right? Things would be just fine, and then all of a sudden, it would explode. My dad would explode, and his anger, it would land on myself, it would land on my brothers, it would land on my mum. And so what I must say is that when I was growing up, I didn't know that this was a bad situation to be in. It was just normal. That was life. I didn't know that this was unhealthy. It was just the way it was. But then as I started learning about Jesus, that's when things started to hurt. Now, it started to hurt because I was learning about hope, and I was learning about everlasting life, and I was learning about a God who can transform lives, but how come He wasn't transforming mine? And as I got older, the gap got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And if we're going to be honest, everyone in this room has a gap like that tonight. The gap can hurt, and the gap can be painful, but the gap is also where faith is. And so it was in this place, I was about 14 years old, right? By this time, my parents had gotten divorced, some messy court cases, custody battles. My parents had gotten divorced, and my dad left the church, and he was kind of church hopping, looking for other churches to go to. And we walked into this church. It was the church that I go to now, Equippers Church. And you got to understand, a Fijian Methodist church, right? It's quiet. And so we walk into this church, and I'm wearing my Fijian Methodist church get up. Just like shoulder pads. Like frills. Shiny shoes when they weren't cool. And frilly socks. And I kind of walk in, I'm 14, I'm a teenager. And I walk into a church like this and I turn to my dad and I'm like, dude, you forget to tell us something about this church. My dad's like, what? Huh? I don't know. So we walk in and everyone is like you guys were tonight, you know, like hype. It was lit. Yeah, like lit. And I'm confused because I went to the Methodist church. So I'm like, why is everyone so loud? So I literally wanted to turn around and be like, shh, don't you know you're in church? Be quiet. Shh. So I was confused. And then the music started. It was fast and it was lit and there were lights and people were dancing. They couldn't dance. Yeah, we call it praise. And I'm looking around like, why? Why are they dancing? They can't dance. And they're really happy about it. Super confused. Oh, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. Right? And then the music slows down. Right? And people start have this intense look on their face. I just want to let you know this is what you look like. Just like people who never know in church before. This is what you look like. It's what goes on in people's minds. And I'm this 14-year-old teenager, right? And I'm like, oh, what happened? I'm like, oh, what happened? Something happened. And then all of, like, hands just start going up, you know? And I want to be like, have you got a question? Like, that's, like, rude. Let them sing. Like, ask the question later. Like, everyone knows. I couldn't understand the situation. I just couldn't. But as I looked around confused at these uncoordinated, dancing, happy people, I looked around and I thought, oh, I don't know why they're happy, but I'd like to be happy like that. I just would. And I sat at the back of the church, and I'm 14 years old, and I, you know, the preacher gets up and he starts preaching. And as I stand at the back of the church, I kind of have the showdown with God. And I start talking to God. By this time, I am discouraged and disappointed. I've given up a lot of hope. By this time, like peer pressure has kicked in. I've hung out at my mate's house and I realized that dads don't act like my dad. I've realized that this isn't normal, and I've become hurt even more. And so I sit at the back of the church and I have this conversation with God, and I make a deal with God. I don't know if you're allowed to make deals with God. I don't know if that's theologically correct. But teenagers don't care about theology. Just don't. So I sat and I made a deal with God, and I said, hey God, I don't know. I don't know if you're real. And I'm not sure that I care. But here's what I'll do. I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you my whole life. Right? I'll do the church thing. I'll read your word and I'll believe it. I'll put my whole heart, my whole life in this thing. And if I do that, and you let me down like my dad did, and you break me like my dad did, and you leave me like my dad did, then I'll know you're not real. I'll know this whole thing is a lie. And so I prayed that prayer. I was 14 years old. That was 19 years ago. And I can honestly say, my friends, that I'm standing here tonight not because I'm talented, although I am. Not because I'm good looking, although I am. No, seriously. Stop playing. I can honestly say I'm standing here tonight because the God who can part seas and who created the heavens and the earth, he listens to the prayers of 14-year-olds. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. And I'm here tonight because God is still making good on his end of the deal. He's made good on it. So when I gave my heart to Jesus, you know, things didn't change overnight. I went on this journey, right, from the time I was 14 years old, just believing that our family would change, believing that God would do miracles in our lives, just believing that something would shift. And I remember, you know, I gave my whole heart to Jesus, and I said yes. You know, that's kind of like my life hack. Just say yes to Jesus. How are you doing? Just say yes to Jesus. And so I just kept saying yes to Jesus. I found myself in Bible college. I found myself serving on any team I could and every team that would allow me to. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal time. And then by the time I was in my mid-20s, I was youth pastoring in South Auckland. Yay! was youth pastoring in South Auckland. Just for your reference, it's ghetto. And so I was youth pastoring out in South Auckland. It was my first Friday night, right? And I'm about to give my first message. And I'm driving over to South Auckland, and I get a text message. And I look at my phone. It's a text message from my dad. Hi, Esther. How you doing? Just letting you know I've had a heart attack. I've left my car in the emergency zone. Could you come and move it so I don't get a fine? So I was like, I don't even know how to start understanding or processing that situation. And so I just make a few phone calls, I let people know what's going on, and I start driving back into the city. And as I'm driving back into the city to the hospital, I hear God speak very clearly to me. And I hear God say, hey, Esther, before you get to the hospital, you need to forgive your dad. And I said, no. Don't act like you haven't done that. Right? Yeah, yes, girl, no. And I keep driving, and God says again, hey, Esther, before you get to that hospital, before you see your father, you need to forgive him. And I said, no. No. I said no. No, you've forgiven him. Why should I? Why does he need my forgiveness? Got to the hospital. I parked the car, you know. Then I went up to the hospital, asked where my dad was so I could get the keys and move his car. And so I get to the hospital room, and just before I walk in, the Holy Spirit says one more time, hey, Esther, before you walk into that room and see your dad, you need to forgive him. Because until you do, until you forgive your father, you will never allow me close enough to be yours. So I stood there before going into that hospital room, and I wept and I wept and I wept. 20 years worth of holding on, worth of memories, worth of questions of why and how come and how could you do that? And then I walked in and I saw my dad. You know, and the first thing I said was, a text message? Come on, Dad. And then we had this conversation. And if you know anything about Pacific Islanders, we don't talk like this. You don't talk about the family like that. You don't confront your father like that. You just don't do that. And so as I'm talking to my dad, I just say, hey, Dad, you know, of all the things that happened when we were growing up, I just want to let you know, I love you very much, and I forgive you. And that's the first time I saw my dad cry. And it was this incredible moment. And, you know, fast forward to 2019. Yeah, that's this year, yep. And from that moment, right, God's been doing miracles in our family. Just miracles, miracles. And my dad, he hadn't put his hand up, hadn't accepted Jesus into his heart, and I'd just been praying for my dad. A couple weeks after Easter, my dad calls me and he says, oh, hey, Esther, you want to have lunch tomorrow? And I said, yeah. I always say yes when dad's asked for lunch because that means he's paying, right? Yeah, free food, of course. So Malachi and I, we go along to lunch with Dad, and we're having lunch, we're just catching up. And Dad says, hey, can I come to church on Sunday? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll come pick you up. So he comes to church on Sunday, and he's standing there. We're having a good time in church. And then we sit down during the preaching time, and I'm like, oh, God, is this the moment? Oh, God, is this the moment? Is this the Sunday? If you've ever prayed for a family member, if you've ever prayed and held in your heart the hope that a family member might know Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. Is this it? Is this it? Is this it? And then I look over to my dad, right, during the preaching, and he's sleeping. So I'm like, okay, not this Sunday. That's okay. That's okay, Jesus. All right. All right, and then I'm like, Dad, stop snoring. I'm a pastor here, man. Like, come on. And then, at the end of the service, right, and then our pastor starts, he gives an altar call. Anyone here doesn't know Jesus? And, you know, by this time we had stood up, so Dad was awake. And as we're standing there, I do the old, eyes closed, but just like peek, you know. You do that too, eh? Yeah. And I'm like, not this Sunday. That's all right, Jesus. And our pastor says, if you're in the room and you used to know Jesus and you've walked away, you can pray this prayer too. If that's you, just put your hand up. And in that moment, I just see my dad lift his hand. And and I know that God listens to the prayers of 14-year-olds. And I know that God never forgets. And I know that God is always working. And I know that He makes good on His promises. And I know, I'm not into the show of Christianity, just not into it. But I'm into a God who is exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask or think or imagine. And if we hold on, if we hold on, if we hold on, if we believe again, if we go again, if we try again, if we worship again, if we pick up the phone again, if we invite again, if we initiate again, if we lift our hands again, if we declare again, if we read again, if we go again and again and again and again and again, our God is faithful. Hey, Jai, mate, can I have that umbrella? Look at you, so helpful. Look at you, yeah, fantastic. You gonna get married? You started it, Pastor Brett. Okay, cool, this is... the conference is called Open Heaven, right? And really tonight, I think, I really do believe, like I said earlier, that God wants to do something significant. And here's just a picture I had as I was praying this afternoon, that sometimes what we don't realize is that we actually live under a constant open heaven. That's the result of the cross, right? The cross has given us access 100% of the time, all the time, can't be taken away from us. That we live in under an open heaven, but some of us just got our umbrellas up. Let it rain, let it rain. I'll just put my umbrella up. Open the floodgates of heaven. God, where's your rain? Where's your rain, Jesus? Right? We can even feel the splash of the rain from other people. Right? Oh, that's exciting. Look at that. Oh, look at their blessing. Look at that breakthrough. Oh, her dad got saved. God, where's the open heaven? And I think sometimes we forget, I don't know how we forget, but we do, that actually the cross granted us an open heaven. But sometimes there are limitations that we put up and we don't realize that we do. Probably one of the biggest ones is unforgiveness. Probably one of the biggest ones, right? And it's a dangerous, dangerous thing, because when you have the unforgiveness umbrella up, right, you can see God moving in other people's life, and then you start questioning, why isn't He moving in mine? And then we start asking, or maybe it's me. Maybe God doesn't like me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Can I just say, you're not doing something wrong? Just move the umbrella. Right? And this is, you know, the Bible puts it like this, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And we're just wondering, oh God, I just want to feel your rain. I just want to be and experience the open heaven. But actually, there's a limitation that we have control over, by the way. 100%. And until we pull the umbrella down, the unforgiveness down, we won't see it. And so I'm just going to leave this here. And so tonight, you know, oh man, this was like my journey with my dad and God. Oh, if my dad says sorry, that'll make it better. If they admit that they were wrong, that will fix the situation. Can I say, my dad might have said, I'm sorry first, he didn't. But even if he did, I would still have to remove the umbrella. And sometimes we're waiting to be justified because we're in pain. But can I say, that doesn't remove the umbrella. It doesn't remove the limitation. But actually, when we forgive, when we let go, when we release people from our judgment, say sorry or not, I live under an open heaven. Situation changes or not, I live under an open heaven, right? And so just quickly, you know, Matthew 18, woohoo, unforgiveness. Matthew 18, Jesus talks about unforgiveness. He speaks about it in a parable. And he pretty much says at the end of the parable that when you don't forgive, you get thrown into a prison of torment. That's pretty serious. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, it talks about Satan masquerading as an angel of light. Hey, Jai, I'm going to use you again. Come on up. Yeah. No more comments, I promise. Good. Yeah. You be the good guy. I'm dressed in kind of black, so I'll play the enemy. It says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light, right? So this is what happens. Life happens, and we get offended sometimes. Yeah. And so perhaps Satan, masquerading as an angel of light, will say, oh, mate, what they did to you was so wrong. You poor thing. You know what? You don't deserve to be treated like that. All of that's correct. But then something masquerading as an angel of light, pretending to comfort, you should remember that. Or you don't let them forget it. Right? And the danger is when we, and the, you know, the enemy just comes and puts his arm around us and starts whispering and says, now don't forget it. Now never let that go. Now, they should never have treated you like that. That's their fault. Now, how can you forgive that? How can you do that? And he just comes and he just puts his arm around us like this, you know? And then the mistake happens when we start believing it, and then we put our arm around the enemy and say, you know what? You're right. You're right. And see, my friends, when this happens, what we've done now is we've given the enemy a foothold. And then unforgiveness becomes a stronghold. It stops comforting immediately. As soon as we start agreeing with that lie, as soon as we start saying, you know what, that's right, immediately comfort turns to torment. And you know how it feels. Thanks, Jai, thanks. Give him a hand. We know how that feels, right? We know how that feels because when that person walks into the room on Sunday, we Look at them lifting their hands in worship. If only everyone knew. Maybe I should just post it on Facebook anonymously. You know those people in church who worship on Sunday but are total hypocrites, right? And this thing just starts to take hold of us. What is it? Then it becomes bitterness, or it becomes hate, or it becomes anger, or it becomes malice, or it becomes offense, or it becomes independence, or it becomes isolation. And we start just moving away from the heart of God. And so tonight, I think it's really important, because sometimes we want to be delivered. We want to, right? We want to be delivered. We want to be healed of the wound, and we start taking authority, right? We start taking authority and praying over the spirit of discouragement or the spirit of disappointment until the spirit of disappointment replies, I ain't going anywhere. I have legal right to be here because you have unforgiveness. Like, I know this is not a fun message for Friday night, right? My girl. I know it's not fun, but I understand. Take it from someone who has held unforgiveness, and it's held me in torment, and it's held me back, and it's woven disappointment and discouragement in my life for far too long. And when I try and break free of things and stand in environments like this and feel the presence of God at a deeper level, or feel the chains broken and just wonder why things aren't shifting, it's because it's got legal ground to stand there because I'm holding unforgiveness. And so tonight, if you've been hitting walls, if you've been hitting ceilings, I'm just praying right now that the Spirit of God is bringing situations and people to your mind right now that we know we need to forgive. Because if we want to experience the open heaven, forgiveness will remove the limitation. Forgiveness will release it over our lives. We're going to land tonight. I should open the Word of God, Mark in chapter 5. We're going to land in this incredible story. And I've just got three things for you tonight. And then I know God's going to break some chains. So Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, you will all be familiar with the story. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of a local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. Please come, my daughter is dying. Come and heal her. Lay your hands on her so she can live. Please come, my legacy is dying. Please come, my dreams for the future are dying. Please come, my hope that the situation is going to change is dying. Please come, Jesus." Cool. "Please come and lay your hands on her, heal her so she can live." Then four of the most incredible words, "Jesus went with him." How great is that? "Please come, Jesus." And Jesus is like, "All right, let's go." How good. "Please come. I'm in such trouble. I'm in such strife. I need you to move in my life." Jesus says, "All right, let's go." I love our God. It's so, so legit. And all the people followed, crowding after him. A woman, say a woman. You know things shift when a woman is on the scene. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She'd suffered a great deal from many doctors over the years, spent everything she had to pay him, but she got no better. In fact, she gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd, touched his robe. She thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Isn't that awesome? Jesus realized at once healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said, "Look at the crowd pressing around you. How could you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. The frightened woman, 100% would be me, eh? 100%. Just like sneaky sneak, don't need to bother Jesus. I'll just touch his robe. And then, you know, who touched me? It was me. But I'm here to like, sorry, not sorry. You know, I'm like, I'm totally not regretting the decision, Jesus. Yeah. I love this chick. She's awesome. But he kept the frightened woman trembling at the realization, fell to her knees and told him what she had done. He said to her daughter, "Your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith, not my power, your faith, your faith, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, your suffering is over." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." Can you imagine? You know, when you're crying out to God for an answer and you feel God say, yeah, I'm going to give that to you. And as you're going, as you're serving, as you're walking out, as you're leading, as you walk in obedience, can you imagine, "Hey Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher no more." And at this moment, I'd like to pause. At this moment, I want to just talk about forgiveness here and what it looks like. At this moment, Jairus has a decision, right? What are you going to do? Jesus overheard them talking to Jairus. And he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just believe." If there's anything that forgiveness is, I want to say tonight that forgiveness is allegiance. In the Greek, the word to forgive, it means this: to give completely. To give completely. To give completely, not partially, to give completely, to leave, catch this, to go away from one place in order to get to another. To go from one place in order to get to another. So forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness does not mean that what someone did to you is okay. Forgiveness is saying, I am gonna pledge allegiance to the future that God has for me. I'm gonna leave this place of disappointment, of discouragement. I'm gonna leave the past and I am on my way. I'm on my way to restored family. I'm on my way to a redeemed future. I'm on my way to healed marriage. I'm on my way to seeing my household saved. I'm on my way to seeing my school changed. I'm on my way to a future I never thought I could have. Forgiveness is allegiance. My question to you is, where is yours? I think too many times we pledge allegiance to dysfunction. Yeah, and I know that because guilty. We pledge allegiance to our past and to holding on to it. Not because we're like weird, although we are, we're all weird, right? But because this is what we know. This is what's familiar. This is what's normal. And that over there, I ain't never seen that before. Can you imagine? This is the decision Jairus would have had to make. What do I do? Do I keep following Jesus? Or do I say, "All good, Jesus, don't worry about it. You got far more important things to do. You have far more important things to do. It's all right, Jesus, I have my faith. I think sometimes for those of us in the church who have been journeying with Jesus for a long time, the danger is not like outright sin. The danger is just living at a lower level of faith. No, it's okay, Jesus. I don't know if I can live at the resurrection faith level. So I'll just live at the level where you can just deal with my disappointment. And so tonight, I want to ask you and maybe encourage you, perhaps even challenge you, that you would shift your allegiance. You would shift your allegiance because you would hear Jesus saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, just believe. Just believe. He's got something incredible for you. The second one, if I know forgiveness is anything, forgiveness is action. It's not a feeling, it's action. What I love is it says in verse 37, Jesus stopped the crowd, wouldn't allow anyone to go with him except for a few of the disciples. And of course, Jairus, it's assumed. And Jairus went with them. Can you imagine at that moment what that would have felt like? What was going through Jairus's mind? What was going through his mind? Do I stay here? Do I say, okay, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, right every step? I don't know what's going to happen when we get there, but I'm just going to take another step. Just one more step. And this chick, right in the middle of it all, she got healed after 12 years. And okay, if you can do it for her, Jesus, you can do it for me. Okay, well, I'm just going to keep walking, and I'm just going to keep following you. The temptation is we think that forgiveness is a feeling that one day I'll feel comfortable enough. Can I be really honest and say I've never felt comfortable? I never felt comfortable with it. I felt challenged by it. I felt compelled. I felt compelled because I thought, what could happen if I was actually free from this? What might my life look like? Where would I spend my emotional energy? I would have so much more emotional energy. Man, I could perhaps put that into dreaming. I could perhaps put that into the Holy Spirit healing my imagination and just wondering what life could be like, what He could do with my life. I was compelled, not comfortable. Forgiveness is action, because sometimes I'm tempted to agree with Jesus, but just not do anything. Just me, not you. Sometimes I'm tempted to agree passionately with the pastor and just not do anything about it, right? No one's going to know. I'm just quickly going to move through this. In Exodus 14, we know the story, right? We know the story. The Israelites, the Egyptians, they just got free from Egypt, the Israelites did, and they're walking through, and they have the Red Sea in front of them, the Egyptian army behind them. What do we do? You guys know, right? Please, have you at least seen The Prince of Egypt? Come on, man. I'm assuming by that laugh, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, good. Right? So they're standing there. I don't know if you've ever read the Bible like I do, but I often read it and I just start laughing because it's this most serious situation, but I feel like God has the best sense of humor. Well, maybe my sense of humor is a bit warped. Exodus 14, right? So they're there. The Red Sea, and it's not funny. The Red Sea in front of them, Egyptians behind them, praise God. It says this, the Israelites say this, didn't we tell you this would happen? While we were still in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. God,
Can you believe that? Why give us this freedom only to die here? Moses, it's better to be a slave. Those were their options. Slave or corpse. That's what several hundred years of slavery will do. Will limit your options. Right? That's why they didn't say, oh, slave or corpse or split the sea. Right? They didn't do that. None of them. Because that's what slavery and torment and a prison will do. It will kill your imagination. And the only options you have are slave or corpse. Right, good times. And then verse 13, right, here's Moses. Moses, what a great leader. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you this day. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Don't you love that? My favorite part is the next verse, verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Come on, that's funny. That is hilarious. Don't worry, everybody. Ugh, corpse slavery. Don't worry, God's got you. God's like, why are you still standing still? I gave you your freedom. Go. So fantastic. You know, nothing like what we do today, eh? Yeah. Just do it for me, Jesus. Make it all better for He did it for you. That's the cross. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, isn't it fantastic, right? So, yeah. So then in the next couple of verses, you know what happens, right? So, you know, the cloud and they move to the back of the camp and then the east wind blows. Most rabbinical commentary will say this, will say that when God said, tell the people to get moving, he started moving straight away. Right? When he said to the people, go, get moving. Why are you crying out? Stop crying. Stop crying out to me. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Right, and that God started moving straight away. And as we see it written out in Exodus 14, that the pillar, the cloud moved, and the sea started splitting, most rabbinical commentary will say that the Israelites, Moses commanded them to start moving forward. And as they started moving forward, the people at the front, their feet got wet. And they kept moving. And the water was up to their knees. And God was splitting the sea. God was moving the whole time. But they just couldn't see it. And they moved again and the water was up to their waist. And they moved again and the water was up to their chest. Who would start panicking now? Right? And so rabbinical commentary, ancient Jewish wisdom, will say that until the water was up to their necks and then it split in front of them. Why? Because God was not interested in spoon feeding. God was interested in a people of faith remembering who they were. Remembering they were sons and daughters of the Most High God. Remembering that though they had been in slavery, there was something in them that could fight, that could move, even against the odds. And so sometimes what we need to do is exactly what Jairus is doing. We just gotta move and take action. I don't understand. I feel like I'm gonna drown, but God, I'm gonna forgive anyway. I don't understand. God, I feel like this is gonna take me over, but I'm gonna forgive. Give anyway. I'm going to release them anyway. I'm going to go anyway. I love that. God, come on, you want the water to split? Get your feet wet. I love that. That I've never seen. And maybe I'm wrong. Please, one of the more knowledgeable pastors in the room. But from what I can tell, God responds to faith and not fear. Also not temper tantrums. Because Jesus says that it's childlike faith, not childish faith. Yeah, I have a 9-year-old niece. If I tell her she can have a lolly after dinner, she will not let me forget it. See me eating my dinner, Auntie? After dinner, can I have that lolly now? Yeah, in a minute. How about now? How about now? How about now? What about now? Auntie, Auntie, Auntie. Caden, I'm talking. Auntie, 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 Auntie. Yes, Caden, the lolly. Sorry, there you go, bub. Don't you? I just wonder, you know, feet wet. Oh, is it now, God? Nope. Okay, another step. Let's go. What about now? What about now? What about now? What about this Sunday? What about this phone call? Or what about this prayer? Okay, God, I'm going to fast. What about that? How about now, God? How about now? How about now? How about now? That sounds childlike to me. Childish. Well, I'm going to just complain in a corner until you do what I want you to do. I'm just going to keep writing complaints to Pastor Brad and Ellie until they do what I want them to do. I'm just going to keep annoying the worship pastor until they let me on the team. Not this church, just mine. Yeah. Hey, musos, come on up, come on up. And I love that in this, in that space, old Jairus, he had to move. Probably one of the hardest things I've had to learn to do while following Jesus is not necessarily forgiving people, but forgiving the process. Because if someone did something wrong to me, at least my offense has a face and a being, you know? But actually, you know, Pastor Ali, after we met that conference 2 years ago, about maybe a month later, I was pregnant. And exciting, super exciting. Then my husband and I did some ministry over in the UK and the States. And while we're in the UK, we were doing these high schools. And as we were doing these high schools, I remember a Wednesday night kind of getting back to the hotel and excited for what God was going to do the next day. But then quickly realized that the rest of the week would be different because as I was pregnant, about 11 weeks pregnant, I'd started bleeding. And by the next morning, I had a miscarriage. And right in the middle of that situation, my offense had no face. It was just one of those things. And I was on my way, God, and I was doing your will, and I was being faithful, and I was being obedient. And I'm sorry, what? And I'm just one of those girls. I never dreamed of a wedding or like children. Like, sis was happy to be single for the rest of her life. I was happy with that. So all of this was an additional blessing. So I didn't understand why God would give me something like this that I didn't really even ask for, and then would rip it away from me. We were already convinced he was a boy. We had already named him.
Ezekiel Benjamin Greenwood.
And I remember in that moment just thinking, I just couldn't understand any of it. And of all the times that God would speak, you know, God spoke to me. I remember when I had enough courage to even look at God and ask Him to speak. I thought He would take me to, you know, the Psalms.
Be comforted, my daughter.
God took me to Job. And I'm just reading through Job, and I can hear the Spirit of God saying, I know you don't understand, Esther, but if you need to, Esther, you can forgive me. And I'm uncomfortable even saying that, right? Because that sounds like heretical to me, as if God could ever do anything wrong. All I know is that that's how it felt. That's not how it was, it's just how it felt. And so for me, I had to learn, I don't understand, but I must forgive the process. I know enough about God to know that He's doing something. And I don't need to understand. All I know is I need to forgive the process and keep moving forward. And even at that time, I had to learn to forgive God. Again, you hear what I'm saying, right? I'm not introducing new theology, right? And lastly, forgiveness is agreement. Hey, Jai, could I please have a tissue? Thanks, bro. So many competing voices. The messenger, Jairus, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, just turn around, go home. Right? No wonder Jesus axed the crowd. Don't follow. So many competing voices. Forgiveness is allegiance. Forgiveness is action. Forgiveness is also coming into agreement. Very quickly, what I know is this, is there are physical parallels to spiritual truth. Always, always. Because God is just real good like that. And here's what I know. I know, a little bit of science for you. I know that the balance center of our lives is where? Of our bodies is where? Where's the balance center? Yeah, good, good. Ears. Everyone's like, ears. This high school science, fam. It's between your ears. Now, if we're talking evolutionary theory, where would be the best place for our balance center is not our ears, right? Because just we lose our balance all the time. Actually, the best place for it is between our shoulder blades, right? But as I said, there are physical parallels for spiritual truth. That's why the Word of God, the balance center is in our ears, between our ears, right? That's why the Word of God says that faith comes by and hearing by the, that's why we can't listen to, excuse me, crap. Why? Because what we listen to affects the balance center of our lives. And the crowd is saying something, and the situation is saying something, and your pastor is saying something, and people are saying something. But really, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the ability to forgive has never come from feeling. It has only ever come from a faith built by the Word of God, by coming into agreement with what He says, by knowing that He's faithful, He is good, He is able. Stand to your feet tonight. And some of us, we've just been listening to the wrong thing. We're giving airtime to the wrong thing in our lives. And so tonight, I just really believe, like I said, that really tonight, limitations are gonna come off. And you are going to experience and know the presence of God like you've never known before. And you will know it because of an act of faith tonight that says, I forgive. I release people. I forgive even the process. Come on, sometimes we don't understand. Why would you do that, God? But all I know is your ways are higher, your thoughts are greater. So I'm just gonna trust in you and I'm gonna keep my heart soft and I'm gonna forgive the process. Jairus continued on that road and in the end, he saw resurrection life. I cannot describe my life in any other way but that right there, resurrection life. 14-year-old Esther could never have seen this. So tonight, the team are going to lift up some worship. But if you know there are situations, processes, people that you need to forgive, I want to encourage you tonight that your God wants to lift that weight off of you. Take that umbrella right off of you. If we would just give it up by faith, if we would just let go by faith with every head bowed and eye closed. Come on, if that's you tonight, everyone, you're considering your own journey. You're considering your own situation, your own family, your own sets of challenges and victories and dreams. And if you know there are places, spaces, people, processes that need to be forgiven, the altar is open. And as the team lift up worship, I want to say tonight is your night for freedom.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day and we hope to see you again soon.